Sometimes, the best parts of festivals are the discussions that surround them, reflections on what we did and heard, anticipation of what's to come, and processing what it all means in relation to our spiritual work. We wanted to help either introduce you to that phenomenon or extend it for you. That's what this is about. I'm Reverend Jana Vende.
And I'm Reverend Michael J. Dane. We're priests of Arnriach Fane and members of Three Cranes Grove ADF in Columbus, Ohio. We're recording these sessions actually live in cars, actually going to festivals and events, so you will hear road noise, turn signals, and navigation prompts, but that's part of what makes it fun.
So, sit back and enjoy Druids
in cars
going to festivals.
In today's episode, recorded on the way home from the 2018 Trillium Gathering, we spoke about vocation, how to recognize it, feed it, and understand where it's taking you. We also reflect on our own vocations and how they've changed over time. So join us as we travel to one of the classic ADF festivals.
Starting route to the Magical Druid. For 117 miles, continue on I-70 West.
So, vocation is what we've been chatting about, and the ways that vocation manifests, I guess. The idea of discernment is the Christian term for figuring out what your vocation is and whether or not it's
I didn't know Christian. That was that term.
That is what that... Yeah, that's why I keep using it. The discernment process. It's best illustrated, I think, by Dave Walker on Cartoon Church, where he essentially describes it as a... the cartoon he has is that it's a snakes and or shoots and ladders game where you go a couple of spaces and... Your priest tells you that you'd be really good at this, so it gives you a ladder up to, you know, another space that's higher up, and then later on, you start questioning a particular theological point, and you get into a slide and shoots you back down, you know, another level and a half or something like that. It's a pretty good little comic, but it is full of pitfalls and changes and rethinking the way that you interact with stuff. And I think that's worth talking about because it's hard to tell, especially if you don't know exactly what it means to have a vocation. You haven't had that kind of calling, that kind of pull toward priesthood, and you're not sure what it looks like.
I think it's also, it can be hard to understand or take a guess at, especially if you have preconceived notions about what a vocation should look like.
Yes.
And it turns out that whatever your vocation is, it does not fit in that box.
Yes.
So I think that is also an issue with determining how your vocation manifests.
Yeah, and I mean, most people have an experience with vocation and the manifestation thereof primarily as a result of watching television that centers around Catholic priests, or they have a perception of vocation as vocational and technical school, which is also pretty common.
Yeah.
It's a job that you do. It's the job you work toward and train for, and then you start doing it, you know? But the idea of spiritual vocation...
I mean, the phrase that I use when I'm talking to people about it is, lots of people have heard me say, do what feeds you.
Yeah.
And it's, what do you give in service to something or someone or whatever that feeds you, that fulfills you? And if it doesn't feed and fulfill you, then it may be that your vocation is shifting. It may be that that wasn't your vocation to begin with. And all of those are okay things, but it's finding that thing that feeds you that kind of determines where your vocation will settle, at least for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, you say feed, I say fill, because the experience that I have with it is, if you are doing what your soul calls you to do, if you are doing what, you know, the spirits seek from you, you will feel full. That's the word that I use to convey that feeling. And I don't know that it's a good descriptor until you've felt it.
Right. It's hard to explain what it feels like to have that sensation of what you're doing is what you're meant to be doing.
And I think part of that is because coming to an understanding of your vocation is a religious experience, a mystical experience almost. And, you know, if we want to talk religious theory, William James provides four key identifiers for a mystical experience, and it has to meet all four. So it's got to have a noetic quality. So you have to come to an understanding or a knowledge as part of it. It's got to have a ineffability, an inability to describe it. It has to be something that you can't force. You can't reliably get into this state. It just occurs sometimes. And then it's temporary, too. So a vocation, if a vocation is a mystical experience, which I think it is, if it's temporary, sometimes it comes and sometimes it goes. Sometimes you can't describe it. No one can describe it to you until you've had it. It brings with it a certain kind of knowledge, but you can't explain that knowledge to anyone until they've had that sort of experience as well. And, you know, you run around and around on this, and there's no sure way to get it either. There's no set of steps you can take to say, oh, hey, look, I've got a vocation. It's great. And I think that that's part of why it's so difficult to really get your hands around it. And I think it's part of also why our vocations continue to grow and change after ordination. I think that that has a lot to do with it, because you don't know all of it.
Yeah, I know. I remember writing my ordination portfolio, which is what you turn in to the officers before you are ordained, before you are granted the title of a priest. And one of the questions on there is what form do you expect your vocation to take? And it's interesting because, like, I got part of mine right, but part of it ended up being nothing to do with it, and I really thought it would. I mean, the part that has stuck with me is the mentoring. That's a very strong point in my vocation, is working with other people and mentoring them through their processes and working on them with their practice and helping them through their own transitional times. That was something that I guessed at, but I did not think it would be as much the crux of my vocation as it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, I mean, over years and years of working with this now, I'm 11 years-ish into this, I think. And while things have solidified and while I have a pretty good understanding, sometimes things still pop up, you know? When I became a senior priest, there was no way I would have ever thought that my vocation might include video editing. I mean, why would I think that? Or even, you know, the photography, the prayer cards, all that stuff. None of that was even on my radar, and I was a senior priest at that point. And that sort of change, I think, happens to all of us. In my case, it happened because I got access to technology, and I never knew I wanted to do it until then, so it became a new thing. But there are hidden vocational nuggets in our lives that we don't always uncover immediately. They take a while to manifest, and sometimes it's weird that what makes it manifest. Sometimes it's access to a new technology, as it was in this particular case, or buying a new camera, and sometimes it's just a thing that manifests and you start doing one day, and 3 years later you look at it and you say, oh, that's what I've been doing, huh? I guess that's part of my vocation.
It's a lot of times I feel like, at least for me, and maybe it's because my vocation is very outward facing in that sense, but I found that I had this new thing where I was a priest, and all of a sudden people started coming to me for all kinds of things. And it was the ones that involved that mentorship quality that sustained me through the other requests that were much harder for me to do. And so I think that's an important thing to highlight, is that your vocation can save you from burnout.
It can. In fact, it might be the single biggest shield against burnout that there is, assuming that you're able to exercise it.
Right, and I think if you have a vocational mismatch where you're not able to do what you're being called to do, then you're just getting worn down and you lose the spark.
Yeah.
You lose the ability to do your job at all over a period of time because you're not doing anything that feeds you and you're empty.
Yeah, I think that is absolutely true. And I think, too, that it's not unlike any other job in that way. I've known plenty of people who have gotten reorganized in a corporate environment, or even at the university I work at, I've known people to get reorganized and not been able to find ways to feed that vocation that they have. The thing that they've been doing for years and years, all of a sudden they get retrained, they get pushed into something different, and it just, they can't find that piece. And they leave. They up and walk out the door. Doesn't matter if they're making more money or less money, they walk out the door if they can't figure out how to make it work. So it's not just priests. But yes, we all need to feed that vocation. We all need to feed what it is within us that makes us happy, that has drawn us to the work originally.
What was it that drew you?
I think it has always been resource creation. That's been the biggest thing. As I look back at what I've done, I finished the DP Wheel of the Year book in 2005, I think, and published it. And then in 2006 is when I was made a priest. Getting through doing that kind of gave me the gumption to go through and finish the CTP. And there were other things that sort of lined up for that, but that was a key thing. I had created something, and then I got a lot of feedback on it. Even to this day, I have people come up and say, "You're the only reason I got through my MDP." and that's great. It's wonderful. I'm glad they got through it. I'm only slightly embarrassed that it took something that I wrote to get them through it. We don't have any other resources quite like that. But since that happened, since that piece was done, I haven't stopped creating stuff. There's more stuff to put out, and it's all about finding new ways to relate to people. And right now, I'm on a Representation Matters kick, so I'm trying to make sure that we have a diversified selection of individuals, which has actually led me to retreat more behind the camera or to go off of the recorder and try and get more female voices and try and get people who look different or come from different backgrounds to be a significant part of the work we're doing. But even that's tied at its core to creating resources that speak to people. And that's, I think, why that has become kind of the key to my vocation. And I wouldn't have identified it that way when I became a priest, I don't think. I have to go back and look at my vocational statement, but I don't think I identified that at all. And it just kind of grew out of that.
Yeah, I know one of the things I identified was, before I became a priest, was working on family resources.
Yeah.
And that's definitely still a thing that I enjoy doing, but it doesn't fill the same hole. It doesn't feed the same thing in me that working with other people as they are undergoing transition does.
I guess the key takeaway there is whatever it is that you think you're good at, or if you can't figure out what it is specifically that you're good at, that's not the important thing when it comes to discerning vocation, I don't think. I think that the important thing is that when we look at whether or not we wish to become a priest, whether or not we want to do that, is, does the work that you perceive as priestly feed you or knock you down? And if it feeds you, if it fills you, if it brightens you, then, you know, you might have a vocation there on your hands. And that's something you can take a serious look at.
Do you think it's possible for people to have multiple vocations?
Oh, certainly. It definitely is. I mean, yeah, I have a vocation to be a priest, but I also work in IT and purchasing and stuff like that, and I'm really damn good at it. You know, I read contracts for fun. And
it's because you're crazy.
It's because I'm crazy. But it's also because it's something that feeds me. I enjoy it. I have a lot of fun doing it. And I think that's the key. I mean, I got reorganized at my job. And there are lots of parts to my current job that I'm not really a big fan of. But at the same time, I've found ways to retain pieces of my old job that really spoke to me. And those are what keep me going and what I'm doing now. Yes, you can definitely have multiple vocations. And, I mean, honestly, all of our initiates who are also priests have multiple vocations,
yes,
I tend to think.
I would definitely say that I've got multiple vocations in that sense. But I think my priestly vocation is definitely more towards mentoring.
Yeah.
I work with people.
Yeah. And I don't really need people to do the work I do in most cases.
Raise your hand if you're shocked.
Yep. But discernment is hard. Figuring out if you've got a vocation is hard. Certainly I'm willing to chat with people about it. I know you are too.
I am absolutely willing to chat with people about vocation or anything, but in the context of this conversation, feeling out what does feed you and figuring out where you might fall and what path you might want to take and how you can get there.
Yeah. It's a useful thing and a good thing.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, and there's more to come.
We welcome your ideas and questions. If there's something that you'd like to hear us discuss in a future episode, please drop us a line at druidsincars@threecranes.org.
If you would like to donate, you can do so at threecranes.org/donate.
Druids in Cars Going to Festivals is a production of Three Cranes Grove ADF in Columbus, Ohio. Learn more about our grove at threecranes.org and more about Druidry at ADF.org.
As always, keep circulating the tapes and let us pray with a